the law is not in itself a sin. The law is a pointer. It points to us that we have been sinning. Another thing that law was to do was to reveal to them that they need God. Law is like the right and cigarette pack. Smokers are liable to die young. And you know what dying means. You know what smokers are. And you cannot. God used law to prove to you that there's a power that is bigger than you. You cannot be saved by yourself. You cannot say from today, I don't want to smoke cigarette again. By yourself. You cannot do that. Except the Lord helps you. And so the help of God is what is called grace. So there are three types of grace in the Bible. Number one type of grace in the Bible is called grace. And that grace is favor. So the second grace, which is called grace two, is the grace that is the name of a person. And the person is called Jesus. The Bible says the grace of God that bringeth salvation. When the word that is put, it is trying to specify which. If I say, go to my office and pick that book, I am specifying the book. So the Bible says, the grace of God that bringeth salvation. The one that bringeth salvation is Christ. The Bible said he has appeared to all men. The third type of grace is what is called empowerment. Empowerment is receiving power to do what you wouldn't have been able to do. When they finished writing the whole Bible, John wrote and he says, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. What was he talking about? May what helped Jesus to succeed help you to succeed. So he was praying for us to receive the grace. So when we accept Jesus, one of the things that Jesus does is that he starts teaching us. How does Christ teach us? Apart from me preaching about Jesus right now and I'm teaching you, he starts giving you a living conscience. And the living conscience starts teaching you what is wrong and what is right. So the Bible says, grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us to deny ungodliness. There are some people that have crept into the church while the church was shouting, receive money, amen. The Bible says some people crept into the church unawares, nobody saw them, and turned the grace of God into lasciviousness. Lasciviousness is loose living. So the man of God was saying that if I have found grace in thy sight, show me your ways, teach me your ways, so that I can obtain grace. Which means having come to church is one grace. Receiving Christ is another grace. Ability to live like Christ is another grace. So very many people have moved from grace 1 to grace 2, but has not been able to move to grace 3. Ability to live like Christ. Exodus 33 verse 13. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight. And consider that this nation is thy people. The first day I saw the scripture, I got into meditation. And I asked God, what's this guy talking about? If I found grace in thy sight, show me thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace. So what did he find before that is now looking for grace? And God started telling me that there are types of grace. So I'll be preaching to you on what I call grace for perfection. All right, while we're still pondering on what that means, let's go to Jude 4. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, let's read this other scripture, Titus 2 from verse 11 to 14. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness, worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. A few years ago, about 10 years now, some scriptures were now misinterpreted, and some preachers came up and they started giving some explanations to some scriptures, and it wasn't really what it should be. So because of that, I started studying the scripture. And one of the misunderstood scriptures and the misunderstood word in the scripture in the 21st century has been the word called grace. A lot of people came up and start saying grace, grace. We are in the dispensation of grace. We are not in the dispensation of law. We are of the grace. So I started wanting to know, what's this guy is talking about? And some people take it to extreme by saying, oh, we are in the dispensation of grace, and because of that, grace of God has covered us up. One day I saw a prostitute and I wanted to preach to her. I was living at a warehousing and we're going to Plaza and we're going through Maitama, if you know Yo so well. And some prostitutes were there. One decided to enter into the vehicle and I started preaching to her. And she said, but I'm born again. I'm safe. One of the prostitutes that was there that we carried, and her clothes shows you that she's a prostitute. The skirts were almost at the waist. The chest, she was always adjusting, because if she bends down, everything that is on the chest will fall down too. And I was talking to her. I was so happy that I have seen somebody like that to talk to. So I started preaching to her. And she shut me up by saying, I'm born again. In a very kind manner. Thank you very much. I'm saved. I'm born again. So I asked her, which church? He mentioned something, power, something like that to you. I now knew the problem that we are going to have in our generation. So what the devil does is that the devil makes people to think that grace is now your ability to commit sin and it's not recorded. The enemy misinterprets the whole word grace, and people start thinking that, oh, in the dispensation of grace, our sins are not recorded. And people start developing hatred for law. And said that was in the time of law. When you see people arguing rubbish, they said that was in the time of law. And I discovered something very powerful, that the law was not bad. The law was a good thing. And what I noticed about the law and that the law was bad was that God told man, you have always been committing sin. And man said, no, I've never committed sin. I've not been committing sin. God said, you have always been committing sin. You are of a sinful nature. I want to help you. And the man said to God, I don't commit sin. I am not. So God said, okay, I want to give you 10 things I don't want you to do. And let me see if you'll be able to live according to them. And he said, what's there? And God said, thou shalt not kill. I shall not steal. Don't commit adultery. And listed 10 of them and came back after 1 week. They have faulted all of it. So the law is not in itself a sin. The law is a pointer. It points to us that we have been sinning. It reveals to us that you've been sinning. Just that you didn't know the name. You have been masturbating. You didn't know the name. That is called masturbation. You fornicated, but you didn't know the name. Do you understand? You've hated somebody, but you didn't know the name. That is called hatred. Maybe they gave you a gun to go and kill somebody. You did not know it's called assassination. You did not know. And that you don't know the name does not make it not to be sin. My grandmother in the village does not know the meaning of illiteracy. But that does not stop her from being an illiterate. Do you understand what I mean? That the person does not know that illiteracy is somebody that does not read and write. Does it stop the person from being an illiterate? So God told them, you've been sinning. So he now gave them the law. He said, okay, this is what I want you to do. This is what I don't want you to do. And came back. And they could not live above it. And so another thing that law was to do, law was to reveal to them that they need God. So God was telling them, I'll give you what I will tell you not to do, and I will tell you that you cannot do them without me. Okay, I'm going to give you 10 things, and I will tell you, don't do these 10 things. And I'm going to come back and you will do all of them. Law is like the rights and cigarette pack. Smokers are liable to die young. And you know what dying means. You know what smokers are. And you cannot. God used law to prove to you that there's a power that is bigger than you. You cannot be saved by yourself. You cannot say from today, I don't want to smoke cigar again. By yourself, you cannot do that. Except the Lord helps you. And so the help of God is what is called grace. There are three types of grace in the Bible. Anytime you see grace in the Bible, it is one out of these three things. That's why you could hear that man. If I have found grace in thy sight, show me thy ways, do this to me, so that I can find grace in thy sight. So, there are three types of grace in the Bible. Anytime grace is mentioned in the Bible, it is either one of these three things. Number one type of grace in the Bible is called grace. And that grace is what is favor. That is a synonym to favor. It's not all the grace in the Bible that is synonym to favor, that is the same in meaning to favor. Some grace in the Bible does not mean favor, but there are some that means favor. So this very one, I call it grace one. It means favor. You can find it in very many places of the Bible, most especially Genesis 6 verse 8. But Noah found grace in the sight of the Lord. What did he find? He found favor. It was just favor. So that's the number one kind of grace. And we call it grace one. It means favor. If you check some translation now, they will change it to grace. Some will change it to favor. Grace 2 means something different from grace 1. So the second grace, which is called grace 2, is the grace that is the name of a person. And the person is called Jesus. The Bible says, the grace of God that bringeth salvation. So that grace of God is Jesus, is a person. It's not just what God will do. It is a person of God. It's called the grace of God. The Bible says, the grace of God that bringeth salvation. When the word that is put, it is trying to specify which. If I say, go to my office and pick that book, I am specifying the book. You understand? There's a particular book I'm talking about. So the Bible says, the grace of God that bringeth salvation. The one that bringeth salvation is Christ. The Bible said he has appeared to all men. So that's the second grace. The third type of grace is what is or empowerment. Grace 1 is favor. Grace 2 is Christ. Grace 3 is an empowerment. Empowerment is receiving power to do what you wouldn't have been able to do. You can find it in Revelation 22 verse 21. When they finished writing the whole Bible, John wrote and he says, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. What was he talking about? May what help Jesus to succeed help you to succeed. He's talking about an empowerment. You know, he just finished writing the book of Revelation, to be precise. So in Revelation, there are very many threatening things. Like, I saw the small and the big standing before the judgment throne of God and so on. So when he finished explaining everything, he already knows what God is requiring from us to do. It's bigger than us. So he now said, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. What it means is that the same way Jesus stayed in this sinful world and did not fall, you will not fall. So he was praying for us to receive the grace. So now, when you read that Titus 2 verse 11 to 14, he said something very powerful, which is Jesus. So he said, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation had appeared to all men. So after he had appeared to all men, what is he doing? Teaching us. So when we accept Jesus, one of the things that Jesus does is that he starts teaching us. How does Christ teach us? Apart from me preaching about Jesus right now and I'm teaching you, he starts giving you a living conscience. And the living conscience starts teaching you what is wrong and what is right. So the Bible says, grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us to deny ungodliness. So now, the grace of God, which is Christ, when it appears to us, the first thing is that he starts teaching us what to do and what not to do. So that's what the Bible talks about, the Holy Spirit as a grace teacher. That is what happens to us. That is why if you are going to somebody's house and you have been using touchlight phone for some time and you just go to somebody's house and truly this person has about two phones and he's so careless with one. He doesn't even look at where one is. And something tells you, pick that phone, put it in your pockets so that as you are going, you can go with it. And he may not even recognize that his phone is missing immediately. He will now recognize, like after 3 hours, by that time you have changed the SIM
and change everything. How many of you have your mind told you that before? And the Spirit of the Lord starts teaching you. He says, that will be stealing. And that will not be good. What if you are caught? This person has where you just come now, you can't disgrace yourself. The grace of God is now teaching you. So that's why the scripture said, if I have found grace, show me your way. Do this so I can receive grace. So now, if we find grace, which is Christ, what it does to us is that he teaches us until we now start living above sin. Living above sin is not getting to a point in our life and our sin is no longer recorded. It is that we can live and we don't fall for the sin we used to fall for. So that's grace, which is the empowerment. That's to say, if I have received grace, which is Christ, show me your ways so I can receive grace. So I can have the grace. Show me your ways. Teach me what is wrong. Teach me what is right. So I can live. And when I was a little child, they taught me something in biology that got me scared. They told us parts of the body. And they told me that our nose is to breathe in and breathe out. I said, okay. And the teacher now told us, if you stop breathing, you will die. You know, all along as a little child, I didn't know if you stop breathing, you die. But the teacher just said, if you stop breathing, you die. I said, ah. This thing is so dangerous. So what will I do? The person now said, yes, that's why you have to breathe in and send out the other one. And I said, ah, what if I now sleep? If I sleep, how will I breathe? Sometimes I will sit down and sit down. And I said, ah, I've not remembered to breathe today. So, I didn't know that I was even unconscious. I was breathing. That even when you are sleeping, you can be breathing unconsciously. So, when you have lived the life of Christ, you now receive the ability to live a godly life even when you are unconscious. So that is what grace was for. Law was to show us that you have always been falling out of track. I remember when I was a little child in primary 5, I went into running and I passed. I won. I was now matched with people that are in primary 6. And there's this guy, he has long, long legs. In primary 6, I was asked to run with them. And I was first in primary 5, so they matched me up. So when I was running, I knew that the guy would pass me. So what I did was running, entering his track. When I enter, he will slow down, I will move forward. So now, when we reached, I took first. The man said to me, you've taken first, but tomorrow we have to do track so that you will run on the track. Because the man was trying to tell me that I was not on track. And I told him, no, I was on track. I was on track. I know I was the one running. I know I was on track. He said, okay, tomorrow we are making track. So now the law is like God putting a track and saying, I want you to run on the track. So now it's not the track that makes you to commit sin. It's not the track that makes you to run and enter the side. The track reveals to you that you have always been entering the side. But now when God teaches us and gives us the grace through his teaching, the grace is what makes us run on the track without looking at the track. Do you understand what I'm saying? So without the grace of God, we can do nothing. So now what the grace of God is to us, that there are some people that have crept into the church. In fact, the Bible used the word crept. Into the church on our ways. People didn't know why the church was shouting, receive money. People said, amen. Receive Mercedes Benz. Amen. Receive husband. 50 women falling under anointing. Receiving husband. While they were doing that, the Bible says, people crept into the church unawares. Nobody saw them. And turned the grace of God into lasciviousness. Lasciviousness is loose living. You are not gathered again. Another name for lasciviousness is called lewdness. People living a loose life. They turn the grace and now make it look like if you are now in the dispensation of grace, oh, nothing counts again. If you are living in the dispensation of grace, you don't have any problem. Like the lady that I was talking to, she now thinks that, I'm in the dispensation of grace. Now, whatever I think I do doesn't matter. Sin is not an option. It's not a problem at all. If I am in the dispensation of grace, God covers me. It's not even my righteousness anymore. It's now the righteousness of Jesus. Oh, God, thank you, Lord. They now feel that I can remain a prostitute since it's the dispensation of grace that in the dispensation of grace, God does not count sin. No, that's not what it means. it shows that in the dispensation of grace, I can now live the life of Christ with his grace. Not that I can now live a sinful life and Christ doesn't count. Do you understand what I mean? When I was in the world, I lived worldly things. Like you hear the testimonies of our sisters. When they were in the world, they lived the way they like. It would be so deceptive to now say, I have left the world. I used to club. I used to do fornication. I used to do this. And now say, I've left the world. And I've moved into Christ. And after I move into Christ, I still do the same thing. And I said, now I am in Christ. So now, when I was talking to somebody about it, the Holy Spirit started telling me, do you know what the devil is trying to achieve in this silly teaching? The devil wants you to get to a point in your life that you can be so, so settled and free, committing sin and not think about the judgment. So we'll find people that will stand on the judgment throne of God and doubt with God that they are saints. They are believers. Bright Bear told me I'm saved. I'm righteousness of Christ. So the grace of God, when you hear something about the grace of God is not that. That is what Paul even said. He said, should we continue in sin that grace may abound? When he asked the question, he did not wait for anybody to answer. He answered it so that people will not answer wrongly. He said, God forbid. So there are people that continue in sin thinking that grace should abound. Do you know that there are people like that, even though they don't preach it? But you see a pastor who's living in sin, who's living with members, who's doing a lot of things. And when you now talk to him about it, you see, there are levels in the spiritual. There are levels in the spiritual. We have grown in the spiritual that God does not even point to our sin again. We have grown to the spiritual. It's a spiritual realm. It's rubbish. When you find people trying to look for preaching of grace, check the person very well. The person is living in sin. He wants to cover up. He's looking for a preaching to use and cover up that he's living a sinful life. One guy came to me from one of the churches in New York. The guy was a media guy, was working in the media unit, and was talking to me how he was. And they were trying to tell him, don't worry, your sins have been washed away. Future sins, future present sin, past sin, they have all been washed. You have no problem. They have been washed. And the guy said, but anytime he commits sin, he will find guilt in his heart. The Holy Spirit will be telling him, you are wrong. And he went and told the person. He said, but the Holy Spirit keeps telling me that I'm wrong. He said, no, don't mind him. Don't mind him. Ignore it. When you hear that voice again, say, I am the righteousness of God. I am the righteousness of God. The guy said the problem was that anytime he now said, I'm the righteousness of God, God will now say, then you are supposed to be righteous. You are frustrating the work of Christ. Because on the last day, it's not Christ that will be judged as the righteousness of God. He's already the righteousness of God. So what will be judged is that, what were you able to do out of the righteousness of God? So each time I talk about this, I think about portraits. Because I am an artist. I use artwork to describe very many things. If I collect your picture now to draw, you give me your picture. I said, I want a pencil drawing of my picture. And I draw your picture. When you're coming back, what are you coming for? Are you coming for your picture or the one I drew? Now, when you see your picture, say, hey, this is my picture. Hey, so where is the one you drew? They are trying to check, this one you drew, does it look like this one? One guy who does not know how to draw somebody went and draw nonsense. And they said, this picture may not resemble you well, but when you grow old, when you actually grow old, this is who you shall become. When I was taught how to draw somebody, the man who taught me how to draw said, when you are drawing somebody, don't draw for the person to resemble the person you are drawing. We don't draw for it to resemble. We draw for it to be the person. It should not resemble. It should be. If I'm drawing Pastor Inyebon, someone should not go and say that. The ear. In resemble Inyebon for ear. But Inyebon eye, not there like that. When somebody sees that, it should, this man, I know this man. That's how it is. So what we have to do with the righteousness of Christ is that when God is coming on the last day, he's not coming for the righteousness of Christ. He already made Christ righteous. So what he's coming for is that, have you been made righteous with the righteousness of Christ that was given to you as a free gift? So the grace of God is the empowerment, ability to be able to live in a sinful world like Christ was and overcome sinful nature. When I gave my life to Christ, for years, I didn't believe I could live above some sin. I didn't believe I could live above some sins. So there are some sins that even when I did not leave the sin again, but I knew the sin was around me. Even when I was not committing the sin again, I just knew that it's so much around me that any of these days I can commit it. How many of you gave your life to Christ and for some time, condom was still around you in case you want to fall? Lift up your hands. Be a child of God. Lift up your hands. Yeah. Not that you're falling, but you still had in case. I was like that. For over 2 years, it was around. And God was telling me, what are you doing with them? I said, you know, you understand. Man, body. So now, this is what the grace of God does. The grace of God is the empowerment of Jesus. So God says, I don't want you to run. When you learn how to ride a bicycle, you want to be checking whether your legs are on the pedal. But when you ride a bicycle very well, you don't even need to look at. By the time you just jump in, you know where the distance are. That's what the grace of God does. The grace of God gives you empowerment to live the life of Christ like it's Christ that is living the life. That's what the grace of God does. So the man of God was saying that if I have found grace in thy sight, show me your ways, teach me your ways so that I can obtain grace. Which means having come to church is one grace. Receiving Christ is another grace. Ability to live like Christ is another grace. So very many people have moved from grace 1 to grace 2, but has not been able to move to grace 3. Ability to live like Christ. That's what the Bible was saying in that Titus 2 verse 11. Let's read it again. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness. This is what the grace of God teaches us. The grace of God teaches us to deny ungodliness. That is anything that is not of God, you deny it. It's not that the grace of God makes you to live ungodly. No. It makes you to deny ungodliness. What are ungodliness? Lives that doesn't look like God. Life that is not of God. You just put it off. That's what it teaches us to do. So when you find yourself having the grace of God, feeling that you have the grace of God, but you are not denying ungodliness, you are on your own. You are on your grace. Maybe grace, your sister, is what you're talking about. It's not the grace of God. Helps us to deny ungodliness, worldly lust. Worldly lust. I saw a man who was drinking alcohol. Pastor was drunk, drinking. And I told him, Pastor, you know you are drinking alcohol. He said, no, you see, this sin, the way we are in the spiritual realm, God is not judging us on these things again. I said, so sir, there's a realm you can grow to. And you start living in sin and they don't count it. He said, that's what I'm trying to explain to you. That's how you need deliverance. So the grace of God teaches us to deny. When you have been able to see yourself living a life above what you used to live, that's the kind of thing that you used to do. You find yourself, you don't live those things again. You don't lie again. You have obtained that grace. So when you're praying, always be praying. Say, Lord, I want to obtain the grace to live above this. Live above sin. It helps us to live soberly. Do you know what it means to live soberly? Soberly means you're living very careful. You're very, very careful. I mean, have you talked to a lady before and a lady tell you, hey, what is it now? Will I rape you? If you come to my house, will I rape you? What will I do to you? Is it rape that I will rape you? Just come to my house. You are weak. A lady was talking to one guy and I saw the child was talking to one guy. He said, the guy, you are weak. You are spiritually weak. If you are spiritually strong, you shouldn't be scared of sleeping over in my house if you are spiritually strong. You are not spiritually strong. You are spiritually weak and you are thinking of evil. You are thinking of evil in your house. You are even thinking of... But the Bible said that the grace of God teaches us how to live soberly. You live soberly. You are afraid of falling. It's not that you grow to a point that you don't care anymore. Kai. I was interviewing an 18 years old child at that time who told me how she was raped by somebody as at 16. And the person was telling her, I want to give you double portion of my anointing. And raped the child. The grace of God helps us to live soberly. Soberly is that the more you even grow to God, the more you are even closer to God, the more you become scared of falling into sin. It's not that you grow to a point that you said, I see the way I'm growing with God now. One person was saying, how I grow into God right now, there are things that I do, God doesn't count. Those things are rubbish. That is why you find pastors, bishops in hell, sometimes with their collar, because they have lost living soberly. So the word soberly there is the word the fear of God. It's not that we are weak, it's that we have had the fear of God, which is always the genesis of wisdom. It is the grace of God that teaches us to live soberly. Not that the grace of God now makes us live arrogantly and live foolishly. Alright, another thing here in verse 12 again is that
It teaches us to live righteously and godly in this present world. What is this present world? I have two words to use and describe what the Bible is talking about when it said this present world. In this present world is one, in this world that is bad. In this world that is bad. Was it on Wednesday or last Sunday that I told you that in my generation now, where I'm living now, they have completely erased underwears? So I don't know how I will be explaining to my children that are coming what is underwears or clothes that they used to wear at home. Because when you go to Junction, you will see some people who are wearing boxers. Ladies who are wearing boxers outside. So you don't even understand which clothes is supposed to be under. Do you understand what I'm saying? So God says that the grace of God will teach us how to live godly in this present age. You can become somebody who is living a righteous life in a generation like us. Not that in our generation like this, God will just wink. God only winked at our days of ignorance. But now that the grace of God has appeared to all men, he's not winking. Have you ever thought about how Lot? I've been preaching very many things against Lot, but at least let me appreciate Lot for once. I've been preaching Lot. Where were you that Sodom became something else and you were still there? You could not even win people and make. I've been saying a lot of things against Lot, but for now, let me just talk a little bit about his strength. Can you imagine somebody like Lot, who was the only person in a country called Sodom? Two countries meshed together, Sodom and Gomorrah. He was the only person in the country. With how bad the place was. You guys don't know how Sodom was. With how bad the place was. Lot did not backslide. The wife backslided passively. But he didn't backslide. And the children were still virgins. And the place was so bad that homosexuality in Sodom and Gomorrah, marching ground. When you enter some places and want to build a house, collect you marching ground. When you enter into a place, they pay marching ground. In Sodom, the marching ground is that the boys in the community will sleep with you first. That's the marching ground. You are a boy, yo. And I mean the boys in the community will sleep with you. Like you are now. You enter Sodom when Sodom was Sodom. You see some boys. Fine guy. Fine guy. Fine guy. And we'll rape you. You'll be raped. And not one person, no. Not one, not two. That's their marching ground. That was how bad the place was. Angels came in around evening, around past seven. Angels came and they sneaked and entered the house of Lot. Three young men came and entered the house. They heated the door. Heated the door so bad and said, Lot, if you don't bring out those three boys that have entered into your house for us to do marching ground, we are burning your house. Lot spake them and said, these are my visitors. Okay, my children, my girls are still virgins. I'm telling you that you can be a righteous person in a decayed world. You have to be. The reason why you have to be is because God will not say that this world has become so bad. May we just mark them like that. May we mark them like that. No. There are years that Wayek, people will fail so much. They will not say because of Wayek standard, they now reduce and they say, okay, if you now, whatever, let us. No. Instead, they will reduce cutoff points instead of reducing Wayek. Do you understand what I'm saying? So that was how bad Sodom and Gomorrah was. Three young guys, angels, entered. They came in human form, entered into the man's house. They said, no way. Bring them out. The man said, I'm bringing your children. They said, no, leave those ones. We need the three young men. We want to rape them. So bad. The place was so bad that God said, no. I don't want to keep Sodom again for one more day. For God to deliver the angels, I have a teaching on who the angels were. One of the angels was God himself. The two other angels were angels. The one that was God himself pushed the angels inside, pushed Lot inside, and made the men blind. That's how they could sleep and live very early. And God had to burn that whole country until now you can't find any place like Sodom and Gomorrah in your map again. It burns and destroys the entire country so that it will eliminate that kind of people. So it doesn't matter how a particular thing trends and become an order of the day. He doesn't change God's standard. That's never his habit. That's not his nature. God will not say, da. Everybody don't do Omo now. What can I go do? Gabriel, maybe don't mark Omo again. No, he will not. Sometimes when I listen to some white pastors and they ask, is homosexuality a sin? And you say, you know, you see God. So even if everybody becomes homosexual like it was in Sodom and Gomorrah,
it doesn't make God homosexual. He is righteous. The Bible said that he's giving us the grace to live a godly life in a time like this. If rapture delays a little more, now that girls have started dressing, bum shot. I've seen a girl before from Lagos, bum shot down to Akwa Ibom. Bum shot all the way from Lagos. I found somebody all the way from Enugu with his clothes, no bra. From Enugu down to you, no bra. So the Bible said in this present world, that's what the grace of God came to teach you. So we will not say God, you know, the truth was that the problem was that Axel Girls was the one that dealt with me. No, God will say to you, I gave you the grace to teach you how to live. How to live. The grace of God. So one of the greatest prayers we can ever pray is, God, I need the grace to live a holy life. I need the grace to meet up your standard. That's the grace. When we are saying we are in the dispensation of grace, what it means is that we are in the dispensation that we can be empowered by God to live the life of God. So in the times of old, you just know the law and you try to live according to the law. And you will not be able to. You know the law. You know that killing is bad and you cannot help. But in the New Testament, what God does is that when you have received Christ, Christ gets into you and help you to live the life. So when we say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, it's beyond salvation. It's beyond our name in the book of life. It is God, from now on, let me live like you. That is why he can easily correct you when you go astray. That's when the conscience comes in. That's when he can tell you that that's guilt. Can show you guilt. Can tell you that's wrong. That's bad. Stop that. He can correct you because he's coming now to teach you. Now, the more he corrects you, the more you know that it's bad. Imagine you were talking to somebody and you insulted the person and God said, go and apologize. And you suffered and suffered and suffered. After 3 days, God said, go and apologize. It used to happen to me that I would kneel down and want to pray. God said, who are you praying to? Go and apologize. Don't come and pray to me. Most of you don't. Sometimes you can dwell in sin because you don't pray. You can live in sin for a long time because you don't pray. But if I want to do anything, maybe I said something I shouldn't have said, God will say, no, who are you praying for? Go and sort out yourself first and come back. Grace of God. That's the grace that gives us the ability to live a perfect life. When we are talking about being saved or being born again, it's not that we were born and we are separate kind of people. They say, leave our pastor, you know, go feel living kind of life. Oh, that guy from when he was small like this, where God been the user, from when he was small like this, no one follow your pastor, you know, go fit. No go fit. You know, see, don't enter bad places. That guy from when he was small like this, now where God ordained him. He never touched anything before. He never do any bad. No. Salvation is not that. Salvation will always make you meet people that were bad, but God washed them and make them look different from what they used to do. Because sometimes when my daughter was telling me that she used to drink Lakasara and put so Igbo inside Lakasara, I will now be looking at her. I said, this girl, he doesn't really look like that anymore. The grace of God. There's something you have to pray for, which is very, very powerful to have. It's called the grace of God. Ability to be among people that are living the way they like and you don't. It's called the grace of God. And the Bible says it has appeared unto all men. So if you have not seen your own, you are the one that is blind. Bow your heads, everybody. Grace for perfection. Imagine somebody like Saul. All his life, he was living for himself, living for the world. But he encountered God and said, God, I need that grace. That grace. That grace.
I've been changed.
Have you found joy?
I found joy.
I found peace. Have you found grace yet?
Grace.
Favor.
And favor.
I've been changed. I've been changed. Deliver.
Everybody be upstanding. When you find people who could say, like, I was a robber. I used to do this. But today God has changed me. The person has had an encounter with the grace of God. Encounter with the grace of God. Bow your heads, everybody. Let me pray for you. Bow your heads. You need the grace of God. The days are evil. Another word for the present day, this present day, is in this dispensation of grace. This very dispensation of grace, the Holy Spirit will teach us to live a life that is not a life of the world. Grace is not license for lasciviousness. It's not license for looseness. It's not license to live the way you like. You say, oh, I'm now in the grace of God. No. The grace of God is the ability to live the life. The power to now live the life. That's the grace. The empowerment. So John said, let the grace of our Lord Jesus be with you all. The same grace that Jesus possessed, Jesus had. That even when he was spoken to by Satan, he could overcome Satan. The grace of God. The grace of God. I've seen people who were addicted into very many things, but today saved by the grace of God. I know of somebody who said he used to rape. When he wants sex, he will have to see anybody that is around. He will forcefully get it from the person. Saved by the grace of God. Saved. It's not time to condemn yourself and say, I've tried this thing. I've been on this thing for a long time. I don't think there's salvation for me. No, no, no. You are lying to yourself. God has salvation for you. It has the grace. It's very possible. You are sitting close to somebody who used to dwell deeply in that sin that you're struggling with, but one day grace found him out. Your grace. Wherever you are, I want you to bow your heads and start talking to Jesus. Don't know what you want Jesus to help you out of, but a songwriter says, your grace has found me just as I am. Your grace has found me. Grace. 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 When you find people that are in the prison, they don't wish to come back there. One man in my village, they said it wasn't long he left prison, came back to the village, stayed 2 months, committed a higher crime, a bigger crime, and went back. He doesn't have the power to live on his own. Doesn't have the power to live on his own. That's why we pray for the grace, the ability to live above the sin. Addiction means, when you are addicted to something, it means you are a slave to that thing. Addiction is being a slave, including being addicted to your phones. It means that you are a slave to your phone, including being addicted to cigarette, addicted to drinking. It shows that you are a slave to it. You are responding to the lust of your addiction. So the grace of God gives you power above your addiction. So you can now think right when the addiction is calling. He said, no, addiction, I'm bigger than that. I'm a child of God. I can't be subjected to that anymore. The grace of God. The grace of God. Even if you don't have anything to pray for, just be mentioning, Lord, the grace. I need your grace. Just be screaming the grace of God. Wherever you are, I want you to pray right now. Before I pray for you, be praying for the grace. Say, Lord, I need your grace. Grace, Lord. Grace to be different in my father's house. Grace to be different among my mother's children. Grace to be different among my mother's children. Grace. 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 Grace to stand. Grace to be standing for a long time. Grace. grace to live above sin. I'm ministering to your spirit right now. Grace above lesbianism. Grace above prostitution. Grace above fornication. Grace of God. The grace of God that bringeth salvation. The grace of God. The grace of God. The grace of God. The grace of God. Aya babako yashitaya. Are you sure you're praying? Nigabo sinteke badadagaya. Let your voice be heard. Let your voice be heard. Madebo bo shikadakaya. Makendo bo sikadedekaya. Makendo robo shikadedebo siyadababaya. Makona masuta libadedebo shikadedekaya. The grace of Jesus. I need the grace of God. Grace. Aya baba kaba na gaya. Only but no bushi ya daba. Aya daba. Your grace has found me just as I am. Aya daba kaba na gaba.
Thank you.
everybody to bow his or her head. The quiet in the house, you can encounter the grace of God. When I was a little child, I read a book, I read a magazine, I read a Vision magazine.